or is that?
Actually, I'm having my new project coordinator call in as soon as she gets here. Her name is Lindsay Soderberg.
Oh, okay. Okay. And
hi,
we
Bill.
Have Dale.
Yeah.
Bill's here. Dale might be a little late.
Yeah, I think he's on here right now, and he's going to
okay.
be leaving us soon. So.
Yeah, he was going to switch on and off, so.
Okay, okay. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. Ed's not going to be on the call. Oh, hi, John. Was Dan going to make it? I don't see.
I thought so, but I'm not sure.
Normally, Dr. Savage doesn't do the monthly clinical calls. He does the basic science.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll go ahead and get started. Ed isn't going to be here this morning, and I guess we'll start if Dale, I'll just give some updates, and then Dale, if you have anything you want to add since you have to jump off early, we'll go to you. But in terms of just kind of some updates of what's going on as we prepare this renewal in terms of what direction the consortium is going to be going, I think all the PIs should have received an email with a summary of their conference call with the Scientific Advisory Board. So is there anybody that didn't receive that yet? Okay, and then we've also...
This is Bill Barnett. I didn't get mine yet.
Okay.
That was just drafted yesterday, and it should be later today, Bill.
Okay, thanks.
All right. And we had someone else join us? Or maybe leave? So we also, just as an update, received about 50 letters of intent for various projects, and those are currently under review. We have an external review committee that's taking a look at those, and once we get those reviews in, the Scientific Advisory Board will go over them, and then eventually they'll be narrowed down and then sent to the entire, all the PIs in the consortium. So we'll be getting those initial reviews by the end of this week, and so that's kind of the timeline on that. A couple of things that Ed wanted to remind everybody that is going to be needed. First of all, each PI can write up a one-paragraph summary of the major findings and accomplishments of their project. We're going to be needing that for the administrative core, and that will also be useful for the Scientific Advisory Board as well. And then I also sent out an email reminding everybody to upload publications and presentations. So this is the information that the Science Advisory Board, the NIAAA, is using in terms of evaluating progress on each project. So if it's not up there, they're not necessarily going to know that it exists. So be sure to upload that. It's just a Google Doc, so it's very, very simple. And but be sure and get that updated as soon as possible. So I don't know if anybody had any questions on any of those things. Okay. So the Dale or NIAAA folk, have any things that you want to mention?
Nothing that I can think of. I think the schedule for a November, mid-November application date is probably a good one to go by. So just keeping that in mind.
Okay. And did any of the Science Advisory Board, I guess, John, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Could I ask a question?
Or just quickly? Updates of things going on?
Mm-hmm. Bill mentioned the mid-November. Was that moved up? I thought it was December, late December.
No, it was mid-December.
Mid-December. Okay.
Yeah.
I misheard. Thank you.
Somebody just come in?
Yeah. Lindsay?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Lindsay's
my project coordinator, so I wanted her on the call.
Okay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
So, John, did you have anything you wanted to add in terms of updates?
Yeah, you already mentioned making sure that the publications are loaded up on the Google Docs, but also you know, in all of the calls that we've had on both the clinical and the basic side, is that there's other papers that are in the queue that are in various stages of preparation, and you know, it's just a reminder that those are very critical to get out, to put your best effort into getting those things out in time to go with the renewal. You don't need, I know nobody needs that reminder, but I said it anyway.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? So on my call with the Scientific Advisory Board, Ed mentioned something about writing a letter of intent or something like that. Is that still something we're going to have to do? Anyone?
Yeah, I think what he wants is that, you know, the 50 letters of intent that we received, you know, from all the other people that it was opened up to, mm-hmm. it's essentially a similar thing for the people that are within CFAST now. Ed didn't ask the people to submit that because he was, you know, waiting until he had the advantage of the review and some feedback. But it's essentially, you know, the one pager of what the aims are going to be and how you're focusing, where you think the continuation will take your project.
Okay, because I never saw the invitation for letter of intent. So could someone send that to me so I kind of know what I need to do?
Well, I don't think there was a letter. I think it was something that he said, Ed had said that at each of the calls. Is that, Dale, is that your recollection as well?
Dale might be on the other call, but I think there was an advertisement that was sent to some of the...
Yeah, there is an advertisement in the email that went out. We can forward that to you, Elizabeth, so you can see what was sent. Really, to people within RSA and other sources.
Yeah.
We can just forward that to you.
Thank you.
Well, I have a question. As not a PI, but as part of the consortium, which do I go by? The one for people not involved in the consortium now and send in those, or do I wait to be invited by? Someone else, as the current PIs are.
I don't know.
Should I talk to Ed about it?
Yeah, I think so. Because I'm not, and I haven't. I don't know if Michael or yeah, probably just talk to Ed. I don't necessarily have information either.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so then the other items on the agenda, one is to just go through the 5 question updates. So I guess we can start with Ken. Do you have anything you want to?
Nothing.
Well, Ken, I have something. Claire, are you on, Claire? So
Claire's
she,
not on.
She's done 8 kids at her site with, I believe, the full face. And the data's good, the brain data anyway, is good for 8 kids.
Are these cases that you have recently looked at the brains on, Elizabeth?
Well, we just got the data like a week ago, and we looked.
From Claire.
Claire's not on. Yeah, they're kids that she had already seen.
Right, and I think I've seen them as well.
I think that was the goal.
Right. So you've done the brains on them or not?
Yeah, we have them. We can do stuff relatively quickly once we decide what we want to do. Maybe you and I should talk about that and see, you know, what we can do to...
Okay, that sounds good. I think we can talk.
Okay.
I'll call you later.
Okay. I have a new phone number.
Oh, you do? What is it?
I'll email you.
Okay. do we have, I'm assuming that Leah also was, those are kids that Leah has taken pictures of, and they're also kids that are in the database from the standpoint of the neurobehavioral evaluation.
Hope so. Really, this is just hot off, you know, she did it all in the last, like, 6 weeks.
Okay.
So if it's true that we have all the modalities on these kids, how many kids would that make?
Well, that might knock it up to close to 20.
Okay, for answering question one?
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so anything more on question one? Then we have the next one is Sarah.
We have been pretty busy trying to analyze a lot of our neurobehavioral data and writing papers. We have the three papers that we've already discussed that were presented as posters at RSA, and we're near ready to send those out to all of our co-authors on at least a couple of those, but our goal is to really get those out by the end of the summer. We have a newer paper. It's actually related to question five, so I won't talk about it at this point. But I'm also going doing two additional sets of analyses, one looking at the overall phase two data and the second one revisiting phase one data just to look at a question of specificity. So I think we're making pretty good progress, but we certainly have a lot more we're working on.
Okay. Anyone have anything to add or questions for Sarah? Question number three, Tatiana's not on the call, so I don't know if anyone has anything to add to that.
Well, I don't know if it's specifically relevant, but I've got a postdoctoral fellow colleague who's working on the 3D facial imaging on the kids that we also have brains. So he's developing, you know, the idea is to look at how using the 3D camera data and how it relates to the brain and the kids that we have both on. So I'm hoping that there will be something to submit on that before the renewal. Again, it's not about really diagnosing, it's just looking at relationships between that face and brain.
Between the face and brain, okay. All right, anybody else have anything to add to that? Or so then, Elizabeth, question four.
Right, so we've...
Kind of related.
Yeah, it is. We've got two papers published. One just came out last week, you know, looking at relationships between brain structure and some of Ken's dysmorphology measures. We have another paper that was published a couple of months ago using sort of different, looking more at subcortical structures. We have two published in pretty good journals, I think. And then we have another one on the corpus callosum, which we got the reviews back, and it looks like it's going to be pretty easy to do. So we're hopeful about that. We're cooking up a plan to sort of do... sort of a whole brain analysis where we look at some of the measures that best discriminated kids in Sarah's paper, the one on, I guess that was phase one data, Sarah, towards the neurobehavioral profile of fetal alcohol?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, I'm working with Catherine LaBelle, who's incredible, and we're going to do some sort of mixing of cross-sectional and longitudinal data for the sites that we have it, so we can do a mixed model and look at how age trajectories and change over time may be different between exposed and controls. And then we're going to work with Sarah to somehow figure out how to see how that might relate to behavior. But it's important to note that we're probably only going to have behavior at one time point. But it's still interesting to know if standard scores of kids who do better on some things, if their brains change differently than kids who do worse on other things. So that's kind of the plan. And, again, Catherine LaBelle is going to lead that, and I have all the confidence if we see something interesting, she'll have it written up really quickly. And then I guess Sarah's going to talk about the next part. So that's what I have to say.
Okay. Any questions for Elizabeth? Or? So, Sarah, you have question number 5?
Yes. So question number 5 was to try to see if we could come up with variables that would accurately distinguish a non-FAS exposed group. So these are kids who are in the exposed group but don't meet criteria for FAS. And so what we presented this last year at RSA, and we had a somewhat limited sample size, and we were really pushing, I'm sure you're tired of me talking about data uploads and so on, but really pushing to get more data in the database so we could have a larger sample size. And what we ended up with was actually the same size sample, but it's cleaner, so it's not exactly the same subjects that we had last year, last June, for when we presented it at Michael's symposium at RSA. But the really exciting thing is that using variables, and I can't tell you off the top of my head exactly how many variables there are, but there's approximately 20 variables across multiple projects, we can classify 95% of our subjects correctly. So this is a big improvement over the profile paper from phase 1, where we, in the non-dysmorphic exposed kids, we actually had a sensitivity of 68%. Our specificity has always been pretty high, meaning we can accurately identify controls. But we, for that analysis, 68%, highly significant, very nice. But now we have a sensitivity of 94%. So we're really excited about that, and I'm just getting ready to send a summary out and then get started working on the paper.
So
that's terrific.
Yeah. So, Sarah, were brain variables in there?
Not yet. And we're still pushing to get more data, and it's not brain data that I think we need. I think it's data for see if I can say this correctly, data from other domains for subjects that already have brain data, if that makes sense. Because when I looked in the central repository, there's 185 subjects in the with brain data. So I don't think there's only like 205 total. So it's not like there's that many missing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could look and see, you know, target a few special, you know, specific subjects. But I want to go back and look at, because those brain, the kids that have MRI have to have neuropsych. They most likely, it could be a combination of dysmorphology and 3D that we're missing. So that's, I just need to go back and look at subject by subject to try to increase that. Right.
Well, I'm sure that we've done more recent analyses, you know, that weren't uploaded. Because I think when we uploaded that, we did it as just a big chunk of data.
Yeah.
And we can either update or re-upload a more complete data set, which might be the better thing.
That would be great. I don't know if you remember, and I don't know if everyone cares about this detail, but remember that we each of our projects identified a small number of what we thought were good, highly sensitive variables. And so we really only need, I think it's like 4 or 5 brain variables.
Okay.
So I can tell you.
We can send you that updated just to you, right?
Okay, sure. Yep.
Okay.
I think the way it was Lawrence who did that, and she did it in a very systematic way. I still think that the measures she picked, I don't think that's going to change.
No, and I think those were kind of based on her paper that was just published, the basal ganglia.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was, I think, hippocampus caudate stuff. So.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
I'll send you that, and I'll try to figure out what subjects we need. We're going to target specific subjects. Great.
Great.
So that's all I have to say about that. But I think it's pretty exciting.
Sarah, are these different variables than the ones that you had published on before?
Yes. These are all phase 2 variables.
Okay.
So the neuropsych variables are different. And we didn't include any of the other variables, any of the other domains in that paper. So those are all new.
I see. Great.
So there's 3D face, dysmorphology, brain, each and neuropsych, each project contributing a fairly small number of variables. So it's pretty exciting.
And where do you think you said there was an improved accuracy over the last?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where do you think that is coming from?
I think it's when we look at each individual domain separately, none of them, some, depending on which domain we're looking at, they have varying degrees of sensitivity and specificity, and when we combine them, we get the best measures. In specificity, actually, which is so accurately excluding or identifying controls, dysmorphology and neuropsych do a very good job of identifying controls, which is surprising because in our alcohol-exposed kids, these are not kids who have FAS.
Yeah.
So even considering that, dysmorphology and neuropsych are pretty very good predictors. But in terms of sensitivity and overall, it's the combination that really does the best job. So it's because we added these other, it's a consortium. That's why.
Great.
So one other question, Sarah. So you did not include any kids with the classic FAS, with FAS?
Yeah. No FAS.
No FAS.
No, so that because that was our charge, to see if we could come up with a way to identify non-dysmorphic kids. And the interesting thing is that, well, I think it's important is that the variables that Ken picked are not the classic FACE variables. They're the variables that the paper that Ken, you just published that had the sort of extension of the dysmorphology, like hockey stick and railroad track ears and that kind of thing.
Right.
So I think that lends credence to that argument also that, you know, the extension of the dysmorphology into a broader set of variables.
Right.
And the other thing we'd like to do, I just have a graduate student who's trying to figure this out, Ken, is to try to see if just looking at dysmorphology and neuropsych using those non-classic features to see if if they're correlated with neuropsych outcomes.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. So it's just absolutely. the problem with that paper or the problem with that study is that we have so many neuropsych variables, and you've nicely given us a very small number of dysmorphology, but we have to pick what the variables are. So that's
variables.
Exactly. So we're going to work. We're going to start with IQ.
Good.
That's in the very early infancy phases, but I'll keep you posted on that too.
Very nice.
Okay. Any other questions for Sarah? I don't know if anyone has anything just in terms of the individual projects then that they would like to report. Any other updates? I mean, a lot of this is
I did have one other thing, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
I know Tatiana is not on the phone, but Leah, are you on the phone? So Leah's not.
I don't think so. No, neither of them are.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to say something about number 3 on there, but. It's fine.
Okay. Anyone else?
I have a question that's kind of general.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we have is everyone for the renewal? Is everyone just kind of working on their own? Are we going to try to discuss and integrate how we can make each project complementary or something, or should we just be talking with the people, you know, like me with Sarah and Tatiana and Ken, or I just feel like this, you know, if we have some sort of cohesive plan to any extent that we can make our applications complementary, it would be good, and I haven't heard any discussions.
Well, I think that part of that is once these new proposals get evaluated, that some of that will drive the direction, but definitely there has to be those conversations of how things are going to complement.
Right, and I'm wondering when they're going to be.
I think you should be having them now.
Yeah,
you know, if you see, at the same time you're thinking about what your aims are going to be looking like.
think it's, you know, great example that Sarah just gave in her data is that, you know, she's seeing things now because she's looking at kids from multiple sites that she didn't see without that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a very strong argument. And can you you can apply that to the other, you know, to the morphology, to the brain measures as well.
Mm-hmm. What we did on Sarah's neurodevelopment, or whatever your conference call is, I think we had some good discussions about that, but it seems like it needs to be broader.
I guess I feel like my conference call with the Science Advisory Board was just the first step. Elizabeth.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I felt like my call with the Science Advisory Board was really just a first step, and that it was just sort of the opening to lots of discussions. So I don't know if that helps. I don't know if that helps, but you know.
I think that's right, Sarah. And you know, I mean, I don't think that the board or Ed, I don't think has a template in mind. And so, how you conceive your project developing in collaboration and consort and complementarity with the others. You know, that's the kind of creativity that I think CPAS relies on each of you to provide.
Yeah.
So don't wait for us for that.
I guess somehow I thought that maybe this conference call could be an arena for those discussions, but I guess the program people can't be on. Is that true?
I think we're still working that out, but I think, yeah, we might have to recluse ourselves.
Okay. And, you know, and waiting another month to me doesn't seem like a very good idea.
No.
Well, the other thing, just to add, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'll throw it out there. I think Ed mentioned at some point, you know, that there would be other conference calls, maybe like this one, but not a whole month from now.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't know if that's true, but I heard of something about that.
Well, is there anyone who can, like Jill, can we set something up or...
Yeah, I'm always available to help set up conference calls. Other groups do contact me to meet on a basis. So that's what we're here for, is the admin core, to help facilitate those kinds of conversations. And you can always, you know, go for it, is all I can say.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing prohibiting those things from happening, but I would anticipate, kind of like Sarah said, that there will be a lot of conference calls in these.
But I was thinking, I didn't know if something was planned or if we should just be self-initiating, which we already are, really, but
mm-hmm.
It was only a small group of people, and I feel like if we had Tatiana and, you know, Ken, then we might have a better way to integrate our ideas.
That's a great idea. I think we should do it.
Yeah.
Okay, any other updates or questions? Michael?
No, I have nothing. I'm listening carefully. I think that right now we're just waiting for these evaluations. And as Jennifer said, when we have them, it's going to be a lot easier to plan how to organize the whole group, and we'll have a better idea of the shape of this. There clearly need to be very targeted conference calls in small groups and large groups to align the mission of the consortium going forward. It's just a little hard to plan this right now. We should have more information in a week or two. And then we can go ahead and sort of plan this. And then there are still ongoing discussions with some of the PIs about modifying some of their proposals in line with the discussions that they've had individually with the Scientific Advisory Board. And some of those need to come back also before we can start to put groups together. But we're all sensitive to the timelines and very concerned as you are to try to get this going quickly.
And this is Bill Borden. I'd just like to add that in the informatics core, we're going to be waiting to kind of see what the outcomes are of all these partnerships and ideas and kind of the mission direction. And as you're pulling these together, if you can think about what your informatics needs are, that will be helpful for us as we pull our proposal together.
Would it be fair to say that you can tell people what their informatics needs are if they're not able to articulate a question?
We can certainly work with them if they can tell us what their problem is and what they're trying to do. We can certainly help them map that out for either their section of their proposal or what we're going to do for ours.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
This is Dale. I just wanted to let you know I'm back on the call.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we're close to wrapping up. I don't know if, again, if anyone else has anything else they want to add. We will definitely have more information next week, and so we'll keep everyone appraised on how that process is going.
This is Jill. Just to give everyone kind of a refresher of the timeline, the external review committee is evaluating those letters of intent by this weekend. So then Dr. Thomas will work on assembling those and getting to the Science Advisory Board, and then we're working on the Science Advisory Board having a call the middle of next week. So hopefully, I would guess that more information will be going out to the group the week of the 15th, I would say, just basing on what I've heard. That's my guess.
Well, again, my question comes up. This is Phil May again. Do I need to get a letter in by this weekend on ways that we would like to participate, or do I wait and get that to the committee in a few weeks when the existing PIs are going to get their concept papers in?
Yeah, I guess I, like I said, I think probably talking with Ed about that would be.
How do I reach Ed? I came on late. I don't know where Ed is.
Email?
Yeah, where is Ed?
Email is always best for him.
He's in town. He's in town.
Yeah, he's in town. He was in a meeting. So.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And so we'll let you know as soon as we have some information on the external reviews and where things stand with the other projects coming in. And I guess that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer.
Bye.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.